Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Chad Brown here, filling in for Zach By. This is Stokely and Zach. Stoke, Bradley Chubb, Garrett Bowles, round two of this training camp.
Ding, 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 ding.
Both those guys got into it again yesterday. We know training camp fights are just simply part of how the whole thing breaks down. Passion gets a little inflamed. You get a little upset. You get tired of seeing the same guy over and over. But is this an issue for these guys? Both these guys can be a little bit hot-headed. Are you concerned about this?
Were you a training camp fight guy? Do you get in a lot of fights during training camp? How'd that work for the – I mean, some coaches, like, if you get in a fight, they kick you out. You know, it's like you're not practicing. Some coaches kind of like it. Did you get in a lot of training camp fights?
No, man. I played as hard as I possibly could. I did not have any extra energy for fights. I certainly got into my share of them, but typically it was because someone else, you know, pushed my buttons. I didn't want to fight because you just, after you're tired, you know, if you punch somebody in the face with your fist hurts. And typically I was going against offensive linemen. Those dudes are just so much bigger than I am. So I didn't think I had a good chance of winning. I didn't think it was going to make me any better. There's a chance that I was going to get hurt, and I was going to be tired. So I didn't see a whole lot of logic to it. So for these guys to go at it again here in round two,
what did you make of it? Were you concerned?
It's a little bit of a concern. I appreciate the passion. I appreciate the fiery nature that both guys play with. But, you know, when Garrett Bowles has to go into the locker room or leave practice now twice to go cool off, there's something there. There's something there that's concerning to me, that you don't have enough control over your emotions. This game is about controlled anger and controlled emotions. How do you be at your absolute mental peak full of passion yet still execute the game plan? How do you ignore this, you know, somebody poking and prodding you so you can give your team best chance for success and not go out there and seek personal retaliation? So that's where the line is starting to get a little blurred for me here.
Yeah, one time, okay. Second time, it's like, okay, what's going on here? Bowles talked after the first one. You know, that's my brother. You know, yada, yada, yada. Nothing to see here. But then, you know, a week later, you're going at it again with that guy, and you're talking about two of your best players. Right? That's not ideal. Two of your leaders. I mean, both these guys are leaders of your football team, and, you know, this is the second time they've gotten a fight here in the last week or so. It's not what you want, certainly. So I don't know if there's a lot here, a little here, but certainly, like, you know, if that's your guy, if that's my guy, look, you compete hard, he wins, you whatever, and you kind of, you know, you pat each other on the back. If one guy runs the other guy over, you help him up, right? That's usually what happens, Chad, right? I mean, like, if you're going up against an offensive lineman and you get the best of him, and that's your buddy, that's your teammate, that's your guy, then, you know, you help him up and say, all right, let's go. And then the next time, if he gets, I mean, you kind of have a friendly competition, right? There's a way to have a go all out and have friendly competition. But when it starts coming to blows, you know, a couple times in a week, it's like, wow, I don't know. It's not really friendly competition anymore. They probably don't like each other very much. That's where my mind goes.
I got into it with one of my teammates, John Jackson, played offensive tackle for the Steelers, the Chargers, maybe finished up in Cincinnati. It was maybe my first or second year. I think my first year. John was an established veteran. You know, was I going a little bit too hard? I probably was. But did he have to punch me in my face to slow me down? Of course he didn't. So you punch me in my face, I've got to fight you. I can't just get punched in the face and walk away. So we fight. It gets broken up. The next period, he does something to me again. I try my best to, you know, jerk his helmet off his head. Then we get into a third fight later in practice.
Three in one day, the hat trick.
In one day, but here's the kicker. Who's my roommate on the road?
Oh,
John
no.
Jackson.
No.
So we didn't talk in the hotel for probably 5 or 6 weeks. He made sure he got there first into the room every time. He would have the same routine. He would get to the room. He would take all of his clothes off, sit there in his underwear.
Oh.
And he would start a movie. And I had no say over the movie. I had, there was no conversation for about 5 or 6 weeks before finally I caught him at a team meal. I was like, man, we got to break the ice. Come on, man.
We're roommates.
I know we battle in practice, and I wanted, I'm using practice to try to get better. And apparently you want to use practice to cruise, but that's not how this is going to work. I'm going to come out and practice super hard. That's how it works for me. So we got to find a way to just be friends, man, because chances are we're going to be roommates again next year. So, yeah, we were roommates again next year, but that was our last fight. 3-1 day, we found a way to squash it. These guys need to do that same kind of thing. Find a way to squash it. I have seen teammates get into fights, and two dudes, both of them, walk away with a broken bone in their hand or a wrist injury. For Garrett Bowles and Bradley Chubb to get into another squabble and both dudes walk away with a wrist injury, that would just be the dumbest crap of all time.
I mean, you're right. You think of fights like it happens in football, right? These guys, it's hot out there and, you're still going hard and you're just competing and this stuff happens, right? And it does happen. But, for the second time and for two of your stars to be in it, two of your players that you're counting on in a big way to be in it again, that's concerning. And then you think about, what could happen? One of them break their wrist? Break their hand, Garrett Bowles breaks his hand. You're rolling around on the ground. All of a sudden, you pop your shoulder out of place. I mean, things happen like that. Could you imagine, losing a guy because of a fight? Especially in the Broncos situation, they're not good enough to overcome these types of things. And ultimately, Chad, and you played for some, really good head coaches. I played for some really good head coaches. Ultimately, this comes down to Vic saying, listen, guys, I'm not putting up with this nonsense anymore. This is it. We can't have it happen, okay? So whatever y'all got to do, we got to figure this out. But there will be no more fighting during practice. None. Zero. It won't happen again because we can't take the chance, the risk that somebody gets hurt, whether it's you or somebody jumping in, because that's what always else happens. Everybody else starts jumping in there and somebody gets rolled up on and it's just, but Vic, he's the leader, right? We talk about leaders and, who's running the ship. And Vic is the leader of that football team, obviously, as the head coach. He needs to put a stop to it and say, this is not going to be tolerated. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, hopefully Vic squashes this and this doesn't happen again. But we'll hear what Garrett had to say after practice yesterday.
I already know what the headline's going to be. Bradley Chubb and Garrett Bowles at it again. So, you know what? We're brothers. I love Bradley Chubb. Like I said, it's two guys going at it that are competitive. He's one of the best positions. Well, one of the best players in his positions, and so am I. So when you guys got two guys like that, they're going at it consistently, day in and day out. All it's doing is making us better. Like I said, I feel bad for every other tackle that has to go against him on Sundays because after today, I think I get a scout team guy, so I don't have to go against him as much anymore. So we're just going to prepare for the season. I know he's ready. I know he knows I'm ready, and so we're going to get after it.
I got it. I get it. You're right. You got two really good football players going up against each other, but that doesn't mean it always has to end in a fight. What's going on there? Why is it ending in a fight?
Were you a fighter? Did you fight as a receiver? Were you out there fighting with DBs?
Chad, look at me.
I can see you.
What do you think? No, I wasn't fighting. I never fought in practice one time. You know why? Because I was smart, right?
Right.
Look, and these fights usually happen during training camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I always tried to make friends with the defensive guys, right? Because back in the day, those guys, we hit a lot more.
Yep.
And, coaches kind of like that. And, all of a sudden, if you pissed one of those guys off, guess what? He's like, all right, you coming across the middle tomorrow. Now he'll just give you a little cheap shot, right? He'll give you a little cheap shot.
Right.
So
So
I wasn't going to mess around like that, Chad. So I always made friends. I stayed away from fights. I got hurt enough. I had shoulders popping out left and right, surgery on Achilles, Liz Frank, ACL. You think I was going to get in a brawl and all of a sudden get hurt getting in a fight? So I was smarter than that. I knew I wasn't going to win it to begin with, and I didn't want to get hurt, and so I didn't want to piss anybody off over there and them take a cheap shot at me. So I accomplished all of that. I never got in one training camp fight.
Most of the fights you see are between, you know, offensive linemen and defensive linemen or edge guys and offensive linemen. But, you know, Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders got into it on a big game. Andre Johnson and Corlin Finnegan.
Yes, that was a good one.
That was a beatdown.
Well, just for one guy.
Yeah, that was an absolute beatdown. So it does happen for wide receivers.
Well, you start going against those guys in one-on-ones and stuff like that. It gets competitive, you know. Like you said, sometimes you're blocking in a run game and it gets a little bit more aggressive than one guy wants, and that's how it happens. And you're seeing these guys for, you know, 15, 20 days straight, and just like it just wears on guys. So certainly, yes, not as much as offensive and defensive linemen, but it does happen.
Yeah, and the two battles we just talked about, those were in games.
Right.
It's one thing to have a little squabble and practice, a little pushing and shoving, but in games, because there's usually a penalty involved, and then in my case, I got into a fight my rookie year in the preseason. There was a FedEx letter at my stool 2 days later.
Oof.
Yeah, we're going to take $10,000 from you. I was like, well, that's we'll call that a lesson learned. That one won't be repeated again. Thank you, NFL office. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about Teddy Bridgewater and this offense. Teddy being steady Teddy, does he present a ceiling to where this offense can go in 2021?
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Stokely and Zach show. I'm Chad Brown filling in for Zach Bye. Still got Stokely in the building, and he has continued his Mark Schlereth smear campaign. I think there was a smear for James. We didn't make it official.
Right.
And then we started the Zach Bye smear campaign.
Yeah, we started that today. That was fun.
All right, just to make sure. There's three smear campaigns ongoing.
James, like, you can't, like, that happens, like, you know, once every 20 minutes. So, you know, that's really not a thing.
Okay,
right?
That's true. This is
so
true.
We don't need to hype it up. We don't need the music or anything. But Zach, first day of the smear campaign on Zach, that felt good. I was excited about that. Glad that you were a part of that. Hopefully it continues.
I love that. It felt good. It felt right. That was
okay. It did. It felt just right. Natural.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah. Nice. That's how you know you love somebody, when you can start a smear campaign and it feels good to you.
Right. Yes. And it felt great to me, to be honest, Chad. It felt great to me.
All right. I want to put a bow on this Garrett Bowles and Bradley Chubb round two of fights. Vic Fangio talked about if he's concerned if it starts spilling over into the game after yesterday's practice.
Yeah, it would. You know, I don't know about carrying over to a game, but obviously it could. Yeah, something that we have got to attend to.
Yeah, look, you need to stop it. Vic has got to say, okay, I get it. One time, all right, stuff happens. Two times in a week, no. Cut it out. I'm not putting up with it. So, look, if y'all can't handle yourselves like professionals, then don't come out to practice, you know. But you got to put an end to it. And when your two leaders are doing it, or two of your leaders doing it, well, everybody else is looking at, like, well, you know, like, how do you lead when you're getting in fights every, you know, once a week? It's just, you just can't have it happen. And Vic's got to make sure it doesn't happen.
Well, we are a little bit concerned about, you know, Vic Fangio and the head coaching role and time of use of time and timeouts and that stuff. He has mastered the art of saying something but saying nothing at press conferences. He's gotten that part of the head coaching gig down.
Yes. You know, he's a true pro. He knows how to handle himself there in front of the media, which you can respect.
Yeah.
But he ultimately, you know, he knows that that can't continue. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, look, you know, Tim Patrick got kicked out of the game last year for getting in a fight, you know, and now you're seeing this happen with two of your better players. It's just, you know, something, guys can get hurt. Can't happen in a game. Obviously, you'll get kicked out of a game. So, look, I don't want to read too much into it or try to, I'm not hyping this thing up like it's a huge deal, but little things, you know, this is what, you know, little things can start becoming big things really quickly. and you don't want this to become a big thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you get unlucky or unfortunate and somebody gets injured, and because Broncos can't afford that.
Speaking of, you know, pros and all this, has Von Miller been a fight guy? Can you think of a time from a practice report or in a game? I don't think I've even seen Von Miller get into a shoving match. For a guy who rushes the quarterback as much as he does, I'd say that's pretty rare, right?
No, Von is, you know, he's just a nice guy. Seriously, like, everybody loves Von,
right?
I mean, across the league, you know, Von, he said fine to, you know, everybody in the division, you know, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago or something. Everybody loves Von. Because Von's just a happy-go-lucky good guy. So, no, I can't recall. I do remember Von in 2012. It would be like Joel Dreesen and Jacob Tammy, right, during practice, during camp. And Von was in his, what, second, third year at that point, right? I mean, he was a rookie. What year was he a rookie? 2011, I think. Is that right? 10? Whatever. It was in his second or third year.
11.
It was in his – so he – you know, Von just sometimes if he was maybe, you know, in a bad mood during training camp or it was a little bit extra hot or his coach might have been on him a little bit too much, he would – those tight ends would be split away from the formation, right, like out in the slot, and he would have to go out there on those guys. Or if they were on – they had their hand in the ground and he was over the top of them, he wouldn't let those guys 1 yard down the field. I mean, he would just manhandle them. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And sometimes as a slot receiver, those linebackers walk out over you.
I loved it. Because we could just give it to you guys.
Because you're not covering the guy one-on-one.
Nope.
You're in a zone area, so you can just do whatever you want. And during practice, you know, your responsibility, if you're not exactly where you need to be, it's just like, okay. But, you know, if you have a bone to pick with somebody, you know, you can get after them during practice. And that was always like a little bit of a nightmare of mine is like, goodness, please don't walk out over me, Von. Please don't walk out over me. And then if he did, like, I always took the roundabout. You know,
right.
I wasn't going to even – there's no chance I was going to let him put his hands on me because it was game over for me. But, no, I mean, Von's Von. I don't recall ever, you know, seeing him get in a fight during practice.
Well, Von was asked about the Chubb Bulls confrontation yesterday.
I like that stuff, huh? I remember the last time they got into it, y'all had it on the news. It was like, it was on the news, right? It was like, it was Hall of Fame, and then it was the Garrett Bowles and Chubb fight. Like, it was crazy. But, you know, it's just, that's just practice. You know, we, you know, those guys go against each other all day, every day. And, you know, I can just, you know, things get heated. But at the end of the day, you know, we know how to put that stuff aside and go play games. It's always Chubbs and Bowles, though. You know, you never see Von, you know. I'm chilling.
Yeah, I mean, Von's smart. I mean, look, he's been in the league a long time. I mean, like you were talking about, Chad, I mean, at that point, what are you going to do? Like, he missed all of last year. You want him to get in a fight and hurt himself or something? Like, that's just, it gets to the point where you're just kind of like, ah, I'm not even messing around with that. That's just childish.
We might have to get some shirts for the fan that says Von be chilling. That just describes, you know, his personality for sure. I mean, a guy, you know, clearly a Hall of Fame player, you know, plays the game with passion. But, yeah, he's not going to be fighting. He's not going to do all that craziness. Von be chilling.
Love it. And look, he's right, but at the same time, you know, these guys have been going at each other all of camp. You can't have it. You just can't. Two times, that's one. It happens once, it's like, okay. But it happens again, it's like, what's going on here? Come on, settle down, fellas. Let's get back to, you know, it being about the team, and let's do everything to help this team try to have a successful season. And, you know, two of your best players and your leaders fighting out there again is not what you want if you're Vic Fangio.
Settle down just a little bit.
There you go, Jerry. Settle down a little bit.
Yeah. The details. I know some. I'm sure the listeners, and I haven't checked the text line. I'm sure, like, you guys are making too much of this.
Oh, you're blowing it out of proportion.
And I'm not trying to blow this specific thing out of proportion, but I think what we talked about last segment is how these details start to add up. And if there's not a culture of accountability for these kind of actions, then they're going to continue to happen. And, you know, when you start talking about these details, when I did the Broncos preseason game a couple of years ago, that was the game for Vance Joseph after there was guys eating hot dogs on the sidelines and guys signing autographs, and somebody did a marriage proposal.
Was it Menelik Watson?
I think
right?
that sounds right. Yeah. So I asked, you know, Vance about that, and he's like, oh, no, the locker room's good. Those guys know what I expect. And I walked out of that meeting thinking, I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
We're back.
And so I don't want these small details right. to stack up on Vic Fangio and for him to turn around and go, oh my gosh,
what?
I've lost control to a certain segment of our culture or our team or whatever the case may be.
That's obvious.
That these things have to be addressed before they become, because if you don't address an issue, then the issue becomes big enough where then you're forced to address it, and then by that point it's too late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You're spot on. That's right. Look, it is a little thing, but little things become big things, and if you don't address it and get it straightened out. And we're getting a lot of responses. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043, chime in. Von Miller did fight. He fought this show. And the only person Von wants to punch is Stoke. wow.
Brandon Stokely and some of
Hey, me and Von are golden. We are so good right now.
Okay,
We are good. I don't know how he feels about the other guy, but me and Von are good. You know, that was like, it was like what Bowles and Chubb had happened, right? Stuff kind of happens, right?
But brothers are brothers.
That's right.
You shake hands, you hug it out after, you move on, just like me and John Jackson did.
That's right. Took you all a few months.
We got it done.
Did you shake his hand like when he was just in his underwear watching a movie? Like, did y'all hug it out then? Like, when?
No, I did
when
it.
Was in the cafeteria?
I did it at a team meal at the hotel.
Okay.
And part of it was because, yeah, you're in your underwear, so it's hard to have a serious conversation in the room. So I wanted to wait until you were dressed. But the other part of it was I wanted some say-so on what we were going to watch the night before the game.
Of course.
It was like 6 weeks in a row. It was like, I don't want to watch this movie, man. So let me find a way to make peace with this guy so we don't fight in practice, A. But, B, we can both agree upon what we watched the night before the game.
I mean, that was back in the day when you had roommates.
Yeah. Yeah,
they don't have roommates
anymore.
These
guys are so spoiled nowadays.
They don't have roommates.
All right, we didn't get to it during this last segment because we're tying a bow on this Bradley Chubb, Garrett Bowles deal. But I want to talk to Teddy Bridgewater, and does his ceiling present a ceiling for this Broncos offense?
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stokely and Zach show, a little bit after 1:30 here on a Thursday afternoon. Looking at some clouds in the sky still. I don't think you're going to be able to make your tea time, my friend, and make it dry.
I see, like, too much happiness on your face when you say that, though. I don't know, like you're taking, like, pride or, like, you're happy that I'm not going to be able to get out there and golf today.
You sound like the leaders of the Drew Locke fan club who are upset when we say nice things about Teddy Bridgewater. I'm just pointing out the fact that there's clouds outside.
That was good.
And you're thinking I'm taking personal pleasure from you not being able to golf. That's not the case.
I will golf today, Chad, okay?
Okay.
I've been grinding, and I've been putting in work, and I've been, I earned today. Okay, I have earned it in a big way, and that's why I was sick to my stomach when at the beginning of the show you told me it was going to rain, because last I looked, like yesterday, it was going to be perfect today. So I will be out there. I don't know if I'll be able to play 18, but I will enjoy myself this afternoon. Okay. Golf or no golf, I will enjoy it.
I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you,
just
Chad.
So you know,
thank
I am
you.
On your side.
Thank you, buddy.
Unlike the kind of partner that you are to Zach.
Oh,
I'm the kind of partner who roots for you and wants good things for you.
You're supposed to say, unlike the partner that Zach is to you,
oh,
I'm actually rooting. See, you could have taken another shot at Zach right there, and instead you took a shot at me. You follow me?
I got it. I got it now.
Zach's not here. He's on the outside.
Whoever's not here,
right,
they're the butt of the joke,
yes,
not the guy who's here.
Yes.
See, I'm learning. I'm doing this driving thing. I'm learning how to fill this seat. Now I got it.
There you go.
The guy who isn't here.
Take shots at him.
There we go.
Yeah, we make fun of him.
Mark Schlereth's not here.
Right.
James Merrilat's not here. Zach's not here.
Yes.
Poke fun at them.
Right.
Me and you, Chad Brown, Brandon Stokely, no fun at us, right?
Well, I mean, every now and then.
All right.
Every now and then.
Got it.
Every now. But those guys are, you know, those guys, you just as many shots as possible. The more the merrier.
Okay. Okay. All right. I want to get into this Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy B.
And the perceived ceiling, and then therefore the perceived ceiling for this Broncos.
Was it Stevie B? I know you know that you know like the
yes.
80s and early
Stevie
late
B was
Stevie
like
B.
A, was like a 80s R&B yeah. kind of guy.
Yeah,
right?
We got to get Stevie B coming in. He had one song that I really liked. I can't remember it, but he had one really good one. Stevie B. We got Teddy B. Stevie B. There we go. Teddy B.
Yes, Teddy Two Gloves. However you want to go with it.
Uh huh.
You know, he seems to be, as we have talked about, kind of as advertised, steady. Consistent, but not a guy who's, you know, gonna be explosive offensively for you. The over-under on wins for the Broncos this season still remains at 8.5 or 9 by most sportsbooks. So Teddy Bridgewater becoming the quarterback didn't change the line much.
Okay.
So does that make you think that they are assuming there's a ceiling to this offense under Teddy Bridgewater that would possibly be different if it was Drew Lock under center?
No, I just think that that's where they had this roster, basically right there. It didn't matter what quarterback it was. I think, you know, they just looked at this overall roster, and that's where they had the Broncos at. I just think that I think Teddy can, you know, stretch the football down the field. I think he's a guy that does throw a lot of shorter passes, obviously, but that's not all. You know, people make it out to be a negative. I look, he needs to clean up some of the turnovers that he had last year also, fumbles. He's got to clean that up. You know, throwing underneath is not a negative. It can be a positive. But I don't think that, you know, him stretching the football down the field is not a huge concern for me. I think he can get the ball down the field just fine. Now, we'll all be able to see it. And, you know, if there's guys open down the field and he's not able to get it to them, well, then it becomes a huge concern, right? But I don't believe it will be. I don't believe it will be. I think that he can get the football down the field. And I think, especially with this offense and the way that it's constructed and the weapons that he has, that you'll see him stretching the football down the field and taking shots down the football field. You know, that 8.5 that you're talking about, Chad, I think it had more to do with the overall roster, and I don't think, you know, either quarterback, obviously Teddy didn't change. I don't think Drew, it would have changed one way or the other going up or down.
I got to agree that regardless of the quarterback was, that total would be about the same, because let's face it, although Teddy won the job and we saw both guys play well this preseason, no one's going to mistake Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock for an NFL top 10 quarterback. And I think in order to move that 8.5 or 9 over-under win total to, you know, 11 or 12 or something like that, then it would take one of those top 10 level quarterbacks to make that that number move.
And you know what, Chad?
Yeah.
If you know, and you know, Zach By, Mr. Root Canal himself is chiming in. You know, he must have heard us, and he said he hopes it blankety blank pours. So thank you, Zach, for that.
Oh, he's hating on your
golf. Yeah, now he's coming. He's hating from his living room right now. So
drinking some Haterade.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's what hater. But also, like, hey, if either one of these guys would have changed it a lot, guess what? They wouldn't have been out. They wouldn't have had a number out there to begin with. You know, it's like the Green Bay Packers, they didn't have a over-under win total whenever they didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was going to show up or not show up, right? So, you know, if they had Aaron Rodgers compared to someone else, and they wouldn't have had it out there. They wouldn't have had a number. They wouldn't have had it at 8.5. They would have just had nothing. So that just shows you that when they put a number and they don't know who the quarterback is, the most important position in all of sports, it's not going to change much regardless of who ends up being the starter.
Yeah, I think there's a ceiling to this offense based on whichever of these two quarterbacks won the battle, there would be a ceiling on this offense. I think the limiting factor for this offense is the quarterback play, whether it's Teddy or Drew. And the limiting factor to this team's success is going to be the play of the offense. So those quarterbacks don't really move the needle very much depending on, you know, which guy you go with. It's going to be pretty much the similar same result. Of course, now all the Drew Lock fan club, I'm sure, is furiously typing on their phones to the text line, then why'd you go with Teddy? You know, we will talk about when we come back, coming up next, we'll be a little bit more buttoned down into the wins, How many wins do we expect for next year? Does this end the losing streak of four seasons in a row with no winning records? We'll talk about that in this offense coming up after the break.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome back in. I am Chad Brown. Zach Bias out. This is the Stokely and Zach show. We do have one part of the duo. We do have Stokely. And we're just going to go directly to Vic Fangio talking after practice.
No, it's not effort. It was guys being out of position, not taking on a block the right way. You know, for the kicks that we have, we'd like a little more hang time. So it was a little bit of everything, but mainly we got to cover better.
I know all cuts are hard, but is there maybe one position group that's been especially hard to, you know, just because of depth, maybe cornerback or something like that?
Yeah, it'll be difficult at the positions. It's the obvious ones you guys are seeing there. And again, special teams may be the deciding factor there.
Will Gordon play?
Who?
Melvin Gordon, is he playing Saturday?
We're planning on it.
How much of the first string offense would you use on Saturday?
Not totally, but you know, we're looking at a few series at least.
And that would involve Teddy obviously.
Yes.
What kind of camp has Kyle Fuller had? And do you see the same kind of guy you had with the Bears?
You know, he's only had the I think it was 10 or 12 plays last week, so it's hard to say much off of that. I see the player that I remember in Chicago. You know, we're going to need the Chicago, the 218 version more so than the 220 version. And I think he can still do that.
How much has Miners grown at center here over the last couple of weeks?
He's getting better, obviously. You know, we're still have some snap issues that we have to work through with him to make that seamless, you know, if he has to play in there.
Have you seen enough from a guard that you'd be comfortable if he has to play in there during a game?
Guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe he can play in there. Yeah, he's back to where he was.
You said that Massey's ahead of Calvin Anderson, but what do you want to see from Calvin on Saturday to kind of get back and make that closer?
Yeah, well, it's extremely close. And Calvin just needs to keep playing, eliminate a couple of the technique and mental errors that come along the way. And Calvin's going to be a good player in this league. All right. Thank you.
All right. I think we got Pat Shermer coming up a little bit later. Maybe we'll get somebody else as well. But Stoke, special teams were certainly an issue on Saturday. All right. Sorry, Stoke. We got Shermer coming up.
Your thoughts on going with Teddy?
Yeah, I think the, you know, as we've talked about all camp, there was constant discussion about who was going to be the starting quarterback. And the reason was is because they were both doing very well, and we felt like we could win with both guys. And that's why there was constant discussion. And so, there was quite a bit of it. And it happened from day one of the competition. You know, intentionally, we tried to hit it right down the middle with number one reps with team, number one reps with 7-on-7 for both guys, pretty much right down the middle. With the two preseason games as well. And but I think it's safe to say, you know, we named Teddy the starter and we're thrilled about him moving forward. But it's safe to say everybody here should see the great improvement that Drew has made and how tremendously he handled that competition. And now he understands he's one play away from going in there and having to win football games. And so he understands what it takes to be a pro quarterback and how to prepare himself, but yet help prepare the starter. And so we got a really good room there. We had a great competition. And, you know, the reality of this is we have a starter, we have a backup, and then we have Rip, who's done a great job as well. And we feel good moving forward.
Coach, can you give any specific examples of what Teddy did to win the
job? Nothing specific. I think it's a full body of work. You know, and I think, as I mentioned, it was a tough decision, very close. I think Coach tried to frame it, you know, You know, if both guys aren't playing well, that's tough. And if one's really playing great and the other one's not, you know, it's easy, you know. But I feel like they were both competing at a high level and playing well. And I feel good about it.
What was the role play specifics?
We just feel like he gives us the best chance to start week one and beyond. And that's why we did it. Yeah, that's a good question. Once you get to this phase of the year, continue to get all the reps. We're going to have a setting here where, you know, he's going to get some reps throughout the weeks. You know, if we got a rack of eight plays, you know, he'll get two. So we continue with his development. And then you always, this time of year, whether you're the starter or the backup, you know, you have to the Air Force here is trying to usually it's some other noise. But anyways, you know, they just have to make sure they get their reps, whether it's working with the scout team or an individual. No, typically the backups play scout team. And so, you know, if there's eight reps on the scout team, you know, the primary backup will probably get six of them. And then, you know, Rip will probably get the other third, so to speak.
Vic has used the term manipulate the pocket regarding Teddy recently. Is that something that is taught, or is it something the guys come in the league with just that innate ability?
No, I think Teddy does do a good job of working the pocket. You know, Teddy was trained as sort of a West Coast quarterback coming out of college. He's been trained all along to, you know, work his feet through the pocket. You know, he did a lot of under center through his career, so he's able to kind of take a drop and then work through his pocket. And he does the same thing in the shotgun. And so even though he's worked on it, it comes very naturally. It's very natural for him. What comes to mind the other night was the fourth down that he threw the in cut to Jerry Judy, you know, where it got late in the down and he was hitching through the pocket. It was great protection because it was nice and firm. The edge rushers were up the field, and he worked his way through and was able to keep the play alive and make a play. So that's one example of doing it. He's worked on it for many years, and it comes naturally to him. But it comes naturally, but he's worked on it, and I think that's a credit to him.
You had Teddy back in Minnesota, obviously. He was hurt then. But
yeah.
What does he do better now, kind of in addition to that climbing the pocket and pocket presence? What does he do better now than he did when you had him 5 years ago?
I don't know. I see the same Teddy I saw then. You know, sadly, he got hurt while I was there as well. So, you know, and then we moved on with other quarterbacks. But having watched him perform and being around him and coached him a little bit, you know, you saw a guy that could do the things that you're witnessing now. Yeah, I think the game reps are important for him. You know, he's kind of been, and we've talked about this throughout the camp. Now we got horns going. And, maybe it's time for me to quit talking. But we need to see him get out there. I think it'll be good for him. This is kind of the next phase of his recovery, and he's done a great job in practice, and just go out and play good football, run good crisp routes. He's asked to block, do his business, and then catch the ball.
As good as the rapport between Dom and KJ last year, how much of the young guys, what kind of help do you think that can take on the young guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, a guy that's played in the league, just like a guy that's coached for a very long time, you know, you're able to provide perspective. You know, I think that's what experience brings to the table. And it doesn't need to be anything specific. Sometimes it's subtle. But that's what a guy who's played in the league as long as Teddy has can bring to really all the players he's playing with.
Drew said yesterday that one of the things that he's learned the most from Teddy is just how he communicates with players and coaches. Can you kind of describe that to us? How does Teddy communicate that maybe is special?
Well, I think Drew does a good job, and he's getting better at it as well. But, you know, it's sort of a natural communication process. You know, I don't have to say much to him when we're either making a correction or I'm giving him an attaboy. But how he communicates with the line, how he works in the huddle. And, you know, he's done it for a very long time. He was in a huddle as a quarterback in college. He's been in a huddle through his career in the NFL. Sadly, for young quarterbacks, that's a big piece of this that a lot of them miss because they're always in the shotgun looking at the sideline. There's not much communication going on in college. So although it seems simple, there's a lot that goes into it that quarterbacks, when they come out of college into this league, need to learn. And so Drew sort of mentioning that tells me that, you know, he's watching it and he's seeing how it has to be done.
What did you see from Howard O that suggests to you he can slide in and make an impact early?
Well, he's a little bit, in my mind, he's kind of where Cortland is, right? He's coming back from injury. I see them as kind of the same player right now, and they're going to get their first snaps in this game. So he's got to go out and bang around, you know, block his guy, you know. If we throw him the ball, catch it and run with it, you know. So he needs to go out there and do stuff that looks like football.
What do you as coaches tell Garrett Bowles when he kind of has those moments with Bradley Chubb and things get heated out there?
Well, I mean, I've obviously, you know, in practice, things get competitive, you know. I think it's important that we all maintain our composure, you know, as competitive as we are. I think the longer we're involved in this business, we understand that, you know, once you just got to keep your composure. But, I think Garrett's done a great job this camp. I wouldn't say anything different than that.
Do you think Chubb is out of line this year?
I'm not going to talk about all that. I mean, I've been doing this long enough where these are highly competitive guys that get after it. They all love each other. They're terrific teammates. We're all Broncos, and, you know, every once in a while we butt heads. I mean, that's no different. I'm sure you guys argue about stuff amongst you, you know? Right? Who asked too many questions? Who asked the wrong questions? Who asked my question? I'm sure you guys, you know, I'm sure you guys butt heads a little bit too.
Well, they don't fight each other physically.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that, do we? We're not really where.
Coach, what kind of have you seen from Deontay Spencer as a wide receiver?
Yeah, I think he's made huge progress. You know, I think he made a couple catches the other night. He made a big one in that 2-minute drive before the half that kind of put us in a position to kick the field goal. But he's just getting better. You know, he had a little stretch there. He was out with the knee thing, but he seems to be back and ready. And, you know, if he's our returner, then he's going to be active and, you know, he'll be in there doing receiver things. So he's just got to keep getting better.
Okay.
There we go. Pat Shurmur at the podium. Pat cracking some jokes there, Chad. I mean, you know, D-Mac and Pat Shurmur going back and forth, some joke cracking there from old good old Pat. I thought that was good. I mean, he needs to loosen up a little bit. Pat's a little bit too uptight sometimes for me. And so I thought that was good back and forth and, you know, talking about that fight. But certainly, you know, it does happen. But once again, I think there's going to be an emphasis there from Vic and Pat and, you know, whoever else, Ed Donatell, that can't be having that anymore.
Yeah, I think the pressure is off from Pat. So that's why he's a little bit lighter, a little bit looser.
Yeah, maybe so. I like that.
You know, instead of going in there and being forced to talk about, you know, the two quarterbacks and the battle and this, that, and the other and trying to parse your words and not, you know, tip your hand as to, you know, who's ahead and all that. Now you just say, hey, we made a decision. I'm not going to get into specific examples. We looked at the full body of work. You throw out a bunch of coaching cliches and then you find a way to move on and change the subject, which is what he did. And they started talking about other people. So even though D-Mac tried to trip him up, you know, Pat didn't fall for it and still kept himself with a light demeanor.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what some guys don't understand, Chad. It's not one thing, you know, like people are like, well, oh my goodness, Teddy had more interceptions in training camp than Drew Locke, or Teddy didn't do this and Drew did that. It's not one thing. It's everything together, right? And that's it. Everything together. Who do they think is going to give them the best chance to be successful this year? And that's why they made the decision. And that's why they picked Teddy, because that's what they believe he can provide for them. So there's not like one thing that Teddy just did and said, oh, he's definitely our guy. Or man, that made him just edge out Drew Locke in this competition. He beat him, you know, he got him in that last round, Chad, 10-9 on the scorecard. You know, I mean, it's like, that's not how it works here. I think a lot of people have a hard time in competition when you hear competition that there's not a scorecard in a football competition. You know, they don't add up interceptions and then add up incompletions and then this and that and do the math and come up and say, oh, well, hey, I guess Teddy won it. He won it, you know, 100 to, you know, 96. It's just not how it works. It's just a culmination of everything and the feel that you get as a coach that who can provide and help you become the best offensive football team.
I like that Pat Shermer got into the details of the huddle and how that's important. But one detail that you just missed is this is KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Oh, my goodness.
I got
goodness.
I got him. I got him.
Oh, Chad, congratulations, my man. Welcome to the club. I am proud of you. You just took me behind the woodshed back there and schooled me, Chad.
Yes,
you just OG schooled me, and all I can do is tip my cap to you, right? When you get played like I just got played, and I had it, and I failed, tip of the cap, my man. Great job, buddy. Proud of you.
It's radio, so the listeners can't see me, you know, bowing here. Yes, thank
you're
you very
glowing
much.
Right now, yes. Too, by the way.
I was waiting for the last hour.
Wow.
How do I have the mic? When the clock comes to 1:58.
Right. And I had it.
You had it. It was you.
And I fumbled it.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I will take
it. You know what? I'm thinking about that rain. That's my issue. This is called you, Zach. That's my issue, Chad. I'm thinking about the rain that you brought up, and you distracted me with the rain issue. I'm trying to get out on the golf course this afternoon, and that's where my mind is. So, but I have to be able to, put that aside and do what I do best. And what I do best is usually dominate the KKFN game. And I didn't do it today. And you took advantage of it. And so kudos, man. Great work.
It feels good, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I can't lie. It feels good.
Doesn't it?
I'm out to my game tomorrow, so I won't be in filling in. So it feels good to end the week with a victory like that over you. So, yeah.
And you deserve it. Hey, look, you earned it. You deserved it. You played fair. And you know what? Hey, you went through the hard times, right? You fought through some adversity.
Yes.
You've learned
Kept
from it, just
down.
Like you did in your NFL career. You learned from it.
Yeah.
And then look, in the end, you came out and you hit it out the park, man.
Right on.
Kudos.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Kudos.
It.
That's
All right.
Awesome.
So back to Pat Shermer talking about the importance of the huddle. So it's not something that you and I are making up, and it's not something that James Marillac can just laugh at and dismiss and say, oh, my gosh, he says the huddle call twice. That's so ridiculous. There is an art to being an NFL quarterback. There's an art to delivering the play within the huddle. There's an art to all of that. And for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who, you know, was a little bit before the card era in college football, came into the league armed with that skill and only has improved in that. Whereas Drew Locke came from the, you know, coaches on the sideline holding up cards on the sideline, and it's a skill set that I don't think he, you know, it's impossible for him to learn, but just hasn't had the same reps at it, therefore is not as good at that as Teddy is.
Yeah, and that's just one of the things, right, that add up and you look at if you're, evaluating these quarterbacks. So it's just one thing. It's not going to decide it, but certainly you want a quarterback that's in control, that's in command. He is the captain out there on the football field offensively. He's the guy. And you have to demonstrate that, like you're the leader of that group. And, I've been in huddles where you can tell the quarterback's nervous. You can tell the quarterback is nervous, right? He just doesn't quite, he's rushing through the play call because he doesn't comprehend it. And if he takes a little bit longer, guess what? He's going to forget it and screw it up, right? That's not what you want to hear. That doesn't make you feel good. That doesn't make you feel confident that you're about to go out there and be successful. And I'm not saying that's Drew Locke, but, there is an art to it. And, portraying that confidence, even if you're not, you portray it to your guys and then they become confident. So, while it's a little thing, it could be a big thing, and guys are looking at you and you need to set that example out there. So, hopefully it's just one of those things that Drew can maybe, watch Teddy and learn from Teddy a little bit of how maybe it should be done and be better because of it.
Absolutely. I want to go back to a couple segments ago before we were rudely interrupted by Vic Fangio and Pat Shermer talking about the Broncos.
I mean, serious.
Right. I think people tune in for my voice and
yes.
You, not those guys. But I want to get into some of these, pressing questions. Now that Teddy is under center and been named the starter. How do we see things like into the losing streak? Are they a playoff team? Things like that. So first one up for you, Zach. Do they win more games than they won last year, which, of course, was five? I call you Zach.
Zach. Where's Zach? Is he here?
I called you Zach.
Is Zach here?
No, Zach's not here.
I mean, that's like, you know, you call me a lot of things, Chad.
Well, you almost called me Zach. You almost called me Zach earlier.
Yeah, I did. But I'm used to working with Zach, you know, so that's kind of why. That's my excuse. I don't know what your excuse is.
You know what? I'm not going to offer excuses.
Okay.
I will just accept the blame. I will learn from it.
There you go. Look at that, man. I mean, I wish more people would just do like that. No, right? Explanation. It's just like, hey, I just own it. That's it. Yep. Let's move on.
My bad.
There we go.
Will the Broncos win more games than last year?
Yes, 1,000%. They are definitely winning more games this year. I'm excited about it. I really am. I'm optimistic. I think they made the right decision with the quarterback. I'm looking forward to seeing Teddy Bridgewater operate with these offensive weapons around him. I'm really excited and hoping that this offense can take this next step here in year two under Pat Shurmur. Watching this defense, right, with all these pieces that they have, I mean, they got to dominate this running game. I mean, look, I'm really excited about this group, Chad. And if you're telling me, I'm on my Bet Rivers account and that over-under's at 8.5, you know, I'm going over today. Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic about the Denver Broncos this year getting to 9 wins at the least. How do you feel about it?
I'm at 9 wins as well. I'm at 9-8, guys, is my outlook right now. So not only is that answer question one, will they win more games? Both of us decidedly yes. But this will end the streak of, four losing seasons in a row. That ends here in 2021.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, Merrillat's like, you know, boo-hooing that. Like, oh, I don't want them to go 9-8. Like, what? That would be awesome.
Super Bowl or bust, then what? You're going to be unhappy for, 19 years out of every 20? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, that philosophy. And again, how do we get these young players on this roster to know what a winning culture is like unless you start building a winning culture, which then gets you into
the
playoffs and Super Bowl?
You got to lay the foundation down. You got to start somewhere. It's hard to go from, 5 wins to 12 wins. It happens every now and then, but sometimes you got to lay that foundation. And the other thing, Chad, to be said here is, if you show one of these upper echelon quarterbacks that might be a free agent next year, Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
or Deshaun Watson, or might be traded next year, like those guys get to kind of pick where they want to go. They're not going to get traded to a team that they don't want to go to. And they're not going to go to a team that they don't think has a chance to win. And if the Denver Broncos can show that they can win with Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke, then, what does that say to those guys? Hey, just imagine if I was playing with that offense and on that football team. Instead of winning 9 or 10 games, we win 13 games, right? And so we also got to remember that. So take that, James Merrillat.
Yeah, I think we all agree that, Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be the Broncos quarterback, 3 or 4 years into the future. There will be some transition there. But if Teddy can be the bridge to bringing some experience, some wisdom to Drew Locke, help this team become a winning team, move out of the losing past into the winning future, then this whole competition will be worth it from that point, because now Jerry Jeudy is a experienced winner. KJ Hamler is an experienced winner. Javonte Williams knows what a winning culture is like. Pat Surtain is a part of a winning culture. These guys will be better off for that. Their careers will move faster when you're part of a winning culture. Their development will go faster as well.
Yeah, and I don't, look, at a certain point, we can't be worried about, picking 5th or 6th in the draft. Right. I'd rather win 4 games than win 9. Now I'll be picking, 19th and 20th, and not 4th or 5th. I won't be able to get my quarterback. Listen, you can still get your quarterback. It happens all the time. The Bears made the playoffs last year, right?
Right.
And what did they do? They moved up and got Justin Fields, right? Everybody around here loves Justin Fields. They were able to get their quarterback and they made the playoffs last year. So, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, I mean, they weren't top 5 picks. So, listen.
The Ravens are competitive every year. They got Lamar Jackson at the end.
At the end of the first round. So, there's guys everywhere. You find your guy, you go get him. So let's not just believe the hype that, you know what, you can't get a good player if you're sitting at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 in the draft. You can move up. Heck, the 49ers moved up this year, didn't they?
Big time.
And they got Trey Lance. So they feel good about themselves. That stuff happens all the time. So let's just go out there and pull for a winning record and pull to get this thing back on track and not really worry about our draft pick. Now, look, if we got six wins going into the last week of the season, I'll say, okay, I might think about this situation a little bit differently. But right now, let's go for it. You know, let's not think about the draft.
No, get your wins. Get these players a part of a winning culture. Grow them. Develop them. The draft will take care of itself when that time comes. But right now, it's focused on the New York Giants finding a way to win. Well, actually, in some ways, the focus is still for this upcoming game against the Rams because...
How about that?
Teddy Bridgewater...
Wow.
...will play against the Rams. Smart or not, Stokely and I will get back to that after the break.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.